Well, hello and welcome back to Reality TV. This week is very bittersweet for me. This is going to be the last of my monthly podcast here on Reality TV, but I'm going to keep this feed up because something tells me I'll get the itch again and I'll be back. Maybe every once in a while I'll need to spill some news. For example, today is really coming full circle because a couple things came up that sparked why I started this podcast to begin with. And the first one is kind of a personal thing. Dave, my husband, is traveling, and what do you know, today he is meeting the president of Egypt, which is very cool. But when I think Egypt, I am thinking 90 Day Fiancé, right? So it all comes back to me. Nicole and Azin with the, oh my God, Azin having to kiss Nicole for the first time, crawling or trying to climb the sand dunes. This is just where my mind goes when I start thinking about that part of the world. And sure, very cool, my husband gets to meet the president, but really it just brings very fond, snarky memories back to me. Now, another bit of weird timing news. I feel like it was a gift from the universe to all of us because last night, what do you know, the one and only Evelyn Cormier of the Evelyn Cormier Band announced on an Instagram story that she and David are getting a divorce. I have several things to say, and I might even play a clip or two from you that I have to log into my friend, His Donna Rides on Instagram. If you don't follow that gal, she is a real mystery wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in motorcycle fan gear. You guys go check out His Donna Rides on Instagram. And the reason I had to log in from this friends of mine Instagram is because years ago, when I talked about Evelyn, apparently she might have listened or something because she completely blocked me and I'm still blocked. But I caught up on everything that's going on with her. And yeah, she and David are getting divorced. Now, once I started diving back into her Instagram, of course you saw this coming, mainly because she is not Evelyn Cormier of the Evelyn Cormier Band anymore. She is Evelyn Cormier of Moxie Blossom. So in her profile on Instagram, which is Evelyn Cormier still, she actually goes by Eve now. She dropped the Lynn part of Evelyn. Well, this Moxie Blossom band member, yikes. I mean, it's very Luann and Jacques. They have matching haircuts now, and you can tell they're awfully cozy with each other. So I think David probably outgrew her. If you remember, she was way younger than he was, so he's probably looking for some other younger woman because he was kind of creepy and he was an asshole too, but she really is the worst. So maybe if you want to go and check out Moxie Blossom, if you're into their music, let me know how it sounds. I have a feeling it's going to be something like this. Okay, let's see if I can play it here.
You call my name here in faith. I can walk upon the waves and I will trust in who you are.
And something else about Jesus. I'll sing and play my guitar.
Okay, that's about it. What was the worst of her most recent Instagram posts is this one that she put up on Halloween. And this is just quintessential Evelyn. It just wraps up her essence. I'm going to play it for you so you can get a taste of it. While I'm playing it, I want you to picture her in full authentic loyalist from the Revolutionary War, the hat, the jacket. She's in full red coat regalia, answering the door, I'm assuming at her parents' house because, well, actually, I know she's at her parents' house because in a later Instagram, her most recent one, she's sitting in, she got the beanie hat inside, Doc Martens, a cozy flannel shirt, and she says, "Can you tell I'm in New England?" Yeah, we know, because where else would you be? Because you never want to leave freaking Claremont. But anyway, here is Halloween with Evelyn, oh, I'm sorry, Eve Cormier.
Why, hello, little girl. Happy Halloween. One for you. And then one for King George. Cup of the evening to you.
Oh, want me to play it one more time? You might have been laughing too hard to hear the whole thing, right? She handed out a Reese's peanut butter cup and then took it back for King George. Top of the evening to you. Okay, God, I hate her so, so much. Anyhow, speaking of Evelyn's, I'm going to jump into a little 90 Day Fiancé because it really was a boring season for me. The new one coming up looks incredible. There is a couple with a little person and this guy, and I have it on good authority that they are definitely one to watch. But this season, what is there to say about any of these couples? Except, I mean, Ari and Benny, I have several things to say. I guess I'll jump into it and then just know I will be talking briefly about the Jen Shah Hulu documentary that I watched first thing this morning, and I got to dig into some Sister Wives. So let's get 90 Day Fiancé out of the way. I did not watch a single scene with Evelyn and what's his buns. I can't tell you what his name is. He looks like a Kurt, maybe a Douglas, Richard, whatever. Don't care. Fast forwarded through all of it. Now, Allie and Victor, as far as I remember, were not even on last night's episode unless I fast forwarded right through them. You know, I don't have a great feeling about them. I have a feeling it's just going to kind of fizzle out over time if they aren't already currently broken up. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of depth there. And that proposal, I hate to say that it was kind of sweet. And I was like, oh, with the conch shell, it was very sweet. But there's a gap there. There's just a closeness I don't see between the two of them. I mean, you're thrown into a post-apocalyptic hurricane sort of situation. And you're not only building a house and also starting a business. That's just a recipe for a lot of marital relationship fights. So prognosis is not good in my opinion. Now, Kenny and Armando, if you remember several months ago, episodes ago, I said I didn't want them on the season. And I stand by that. The very little that I saw of their segments was Kenny pouting about what time the sun sets, as if Armando can just change the time that the sun and the moon and the earth revolve. What the hell is his problem? He's pouting. And then his grown children were pouting as well. But like I said, I fast forward through Evelyn and what's his face and Kenny and Armando because I really like them and I don't want to see anything that is going to change my mind. While I was fast forwarding, I saw their ceremony and it looked beautiful. Just let me live in this very peaceful, blissful, ignorant place. Now, speaking of ignorant, let's talk about Jenny and Sumit here. What in the hell is Jenny's problem? Well, I guess, yeah, just what is her problem? Not even with Sumit, what's Jenny's problem? She has a woman of the cloth, a woman of the faith, whatever, at the temple, telling her, go home, don't come back. And this is a devotee, correct? These are people who want to recruit people, and this is someone saying, flee, run, get the hell out of this. But of course, Jenny stays because she thinks she can't do any better. And maybe she's right, because the fact that she put up with all this shit and ended up marrying him anyway, even though he canceled it and dragged this out over 9 years, says a lot about both of them. And then we see that in the tell-all next week, they haven't even told his parents. I mean, it'd be great for them to move out of India and go somewhere else and hopefully get jobs or something, because I really don't think the 90-day career is one for them because they're lazy. I really think that's what it comes down to. I think they're both very lazy. That's why they don't want to get into other relationships. They obviously don't want to work. They're just living on this 90-day paycheck. So they probably will stay in India. And then he's going to be doing this. It's almost like what men do when they're cheating, or I guess women too, where they love the crazy love triangle. Except in this situation, Sumit is doing it with his parents. He loves that. He loves stirring up the shit, siding with one, then siding with the other one. It keeps it alive in spicy form, apparently. And Jenny's too desperate to do anything about it. The only nice thing I can say is I thought the henna on her hands were beautiful, or was beautiful. that be singular or plural? Doesn't matter at this point. And she looked beautiful on her wedding day. She looked great. Mazel, I guess. All right, Stephen and Alina. Oh my God, you guys. Oh, Stephen was at peak Stephen and it horrified me. I didn't think it could get worse than him doing that tongue thing when he was tasting the wine. Something about him in a suit and him looking all smarmy and when he laughs like and his voice cracks. Ooh, everything in my body, my tubes tie again and again and everything clenches. Like if I had to watch him for an hour and a half straight, my entire body would be sore the next day because it is that sort of inner core cringe. He is disgusting. How the hell does Alina, who looked beautiful, by the way, how does she even kiss him? And then to know I'm going to have sex with this guy who, and you know, he just does like a very clammy, limp thrust. It's going to be really bad. And his, okay, I just got a mental image. And since I got it, I have to share it with you. I just have a feeling like he's using his mouth on parts of her body, not lower parts of her body, on her boobs. I just picture his mouth on her. Oh, God, it's so disgusting. God help her. Now, actually, the most shocking thing about this ceremony was the fact that Stephen didn't know the Star Wars queens. I would have thought that Stephen was running the Star Wars Wikipedia page. Is that not the most jaw-dropping thing that you've learned or seen from Stephen? Well, I'm tripping over my own words because there are just so, so many. But that one really took my breath away. He's like, what's her name? Queen Leia? Amidalia? Isn't it Amidala? I know jack shit about Star Wars, and even I know that. And I'm the person that thought the Hobbit people, the Hobbit movie with the guy in the fire with the ring and the My Precious, I thought he was Yoda, or like Yoda's mentor or dad or something, and Harry Potter. All of those kind of movies, they're all in the same lair or universe. And I think down the road, we're going to see that they all are related in some way, shape, or form. I'm going to put that prediction out there. So when you get the confirmation of it, you heard it here first. Anyway, Stephen is a weirdo, and it makes it even weirder that a weirdo doesn't know every freaking fanfic fact about Star Wars. Oh, he probably made her role play Princess Leia afterwards in that thing. Oh, God. Okay, let's move on to Ari and Binyam. Man, Ari has sure flown her bitch flag high and her crazy flag. How in the hell has Binyam gone from being the guy that we're like, okay, man, you had another wife. This is another American. He was playing the butt bongos. What else? Oh, he may or may not have cheated on her. He was having people over at the house. He went from that to being a victim of Ari. Maybe not victim, but he is more in the right than she is in this circumstance. She's just so spoiled and caught up in her own world. And I think it's pretty damn apparent that she doesn't want Binyam around. When she is told, you need to go to Ethiopia with him, the fact that she said, no, I can't go back because the memories and the house and the people there, the memories are just too strong. Okay, so you feeling a little pissy or down in the dumps is a bigger deal than your son possibly not having their father around because he couldn't get a visa to come to the States to raise him. That's the kind of selfish, bitchy, spoiled brat bullshit that someone needs to call Ari on. I'm wondering if her mom would have called her on it because her mom's got her number. Not that I think her mom is perfect, but it says a lot that whatever the hell her name was, Patty, Patricia, Pamela. It says a lot that she told Ari, I think Binyam should get another chance. He's working hard. He wants to do the right thing. Well, how about saying the same thing to your daughter? Because that was such a bizarre out of left field move. if you're so triggered by the house and people being there, you don't want to sleep in your own bed, then go and stay in a hotel. I'm sure mommy and daddy would give you the money. And talk about lazy. What is Ariella working or doing to better herself so that she can get a better job when she goes home? Oh, let me guess. She's not going to work, or she'll work very part-time for her dad again. She is so spoiled and lazy, and I cannot stand her. I'm a little concerned because she is very, very thin, and hopefully that is her norm, her set point. We only saw her or met her when she was pregnant, so maybe this is her natural thing. I hope so, because she looks very gaunt, and the fake lip injections just really messed her up to look like a big Q-tip. I hope that baby's going to be okay, though, because he really is adorable. And as with all these couples, best of luck. But I have a feeling, much like Sumit, Ari loves stirring up drama. I mean, talk about that house being tainted. Didn't she have her ex-husband come and stay with them? She just likes to be a hypocrite and then turn around and blame it on the other person. So Binyam is in for a lifetime of head games, and throw a kid in there, and then lots of manipulation and crazy stuff happens then. The holidays are not like the old Folgers commercial. Peter! No. They're busy and chaotic, but HelloFresh helps keep things streamlined in my house. I cannot tell you the level of stress that is off my shoulders by not having to think about just two of my weeknight meals every week. And why two meals? Well, that's what works for me and my family. But you can order more or space it out for every other week or even less often. You pick the recipes, how often you want them, and HelloFresh makes the meal prep and cleanup quick and easy, so you're spending less time meal planning, shopping, chopping, and scooting people or my kids out of the kitchen when I'm cooking, and you're spending more time enjoying your friends and family. HelloFresh has meals for everyone, vegetarian, calorie smart, even gourmet options, which would definitely impress company. No matter which delicious meals you choose, they're ready in about 30 minutes or less, and a personal favorite for us are their Kraft burgers, always a hit because they don't skimp on the cheese and the oven fries. And if you like shrimp, do not pass those options up. Take it from a gal who appreciates big portions, okay? What I am most excited for, get ready, the HelloFresh Market now offers a holiday cheese and charcuterie board. You know those are my favorites. And they have skinny dipped dark chocolate peppermint almonds. Oh, are you kidding me? And if you love sweets and desserts like I do, get in there and try the ginger spice cake truffles in this cherry cheesecake swirl bars. Oh my God, they go really quickly. Learn from my mistake, add them to your cart. So go to HelloFresh.com/RealityTV14 and use code RealityTV14 for up to 14 free meals and 3 free gifts. There's an easy link in the show notes. That's HelloFresh.com/RealityTV14 and use that code RealityTV14 for up to 14 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. All right, that's really all I want to talk about with 90 Day Fiancé. Let's touch base a little bit with this Hulu documentary about Jennifer Shaw. Hopefully you are watching Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And Amanda and I are recapping it every week over on Patreon. We love to hate TV. The season is so good, and I'd say you could skip the first season if you just want to see what all the scuttlebutt is about. But the documentary today, I'm not going to say it was like the Erica Girardi one, which I preferred. I thought it did a better job, but maybe because we know a lot more information. What was different about this doc that I was not expecting was that we have Jen's aunt, who I think was on one of the episodes. I don't think it's the aunt that had her legs amputated. I think that aunt sadly passed away. But this woman is just singing Jen's praises, that Jen was a victim, and because of some bullying in high school and some racism, there's no way that she could be guilty of all these crimes. Where it's like, at a certain point, you have to acknowledge your family member did something really wrong, but maybe do your talking head about what might have led her up to that point and maybe how she didn't know what she was getting into. So that, I don't think it did her any favors. And I really actually feel bad for the aunt because she looked like a fool talking on this. But what I loved was that they had on Koa, who was the person whose name was bleeped when Lisa was talking about it, and Whitney, when they were talking about the makeup that Whitney sent him, the skincare, and they bleeped his name out, the one who got his ass ripped open and screamed at by Jen. Okay, so he was on there and he really spilled the tea, if you will. The biggest one of all was something I think we all probably assumed, but when you hear someone say it about a couple different things, you're like, oh God, this is so good. And Jen would freaking hate it. So we know that she had the rental homes, right? Well, he was saying, oh yeah, so for example, in this clip, see the fur she's wearing, all of her furs and all of her jewelry, all the fine jewelry, furs, high-end items that she wears, all of those are leased. So she'll get them for, I don't know, a couple months. Is that what rich people do with items? Maybe it's like Rent the Runway or whatever one of those sites are. Smart on her part because there's no trail on it, right? They can't seize those items. But it also, you know, has that housewives thing where if any housewife doesn't own their house or own their car, the other housewives use that as leverage or they throw it right back at them, which is so stupid. If you're someone like Jen who's running a scam, the best thing you could do is rent a house or lease the cars or rent the cars. He was saying in one of the episodes they showed, oh God, I'm really bad with cars, a Lamborghini or something, or a Porsche. He's like, yeah, rented, leased. And I just love that she's going to hate that because they pride themselves on owning everything. And she also did an interview for Marie Claire. It must have been some sort of online piece. And in the background, it's got all of her jewelry. She's showing off like, I like these diamonds and love emeralds because they remind me of cash. Just digging herself a huge hole that she's not going to be able to explain. And then they also had clips from a Michelle Collins podcast, and it might have been Heather Gay's podcast, who I didn't even know had one. The sound sounded horrific. I don't even know if she still does it. I should probably look. But Jen is heard saying that Stuart is her right-hand man. He knows everything. He can do everything. So the fact that Stuart recently pled guilty and he's changing his plea means he's providing information to get that plea deal. And the fact that she herself is saying he knows everything, she is stuck. So if you don't know exactly what she did, I'm going to explain this as best I can. Her company would get leads on data from certain demographics. And most of the time, the demographic would come from people who clicked to work online from home. So anytime something pops up on Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever it might be, the people that click on work at home are most likely to be a vulnerable population, people who can't get out of the house. And then when these people would click work from home, this would be kind of scam number one. They would get information or sign up for a list or enter themselves into some sort of database to get leads to work from home. And they would use their credit card to, you know, get themselves in, right? Well, then these sales floors, what they would call it, which are all around the United States, they would work together and they would trade information or trade people. And they already had these people's credit card numbers. They already had their information. So then they would just start bombarding them with phone calls. And then if they got scammed out of that, then they would pass it on to another sales floor and they would scam them again. And they had a couple women who wanted to build a website. One was making these baby blanket wrap kind of things. And so she was trying to start her own home business. And so they said they were going to give her like a social media package and help her build the website. Just send $1,000 and we're going to get it up XYZ. And then you just get deeper and deeper into this. And then a couple of them realized when they wanted to call and talk to someone because they were wondering what the hell is going on, it's been several months and I don't even have my website up, they wouldn't be able to contact anyone. I'm not sure if I talked about it on here or one of my other 500 podcasts with Amanda and elsewhere. My mom was recently scammed. She thought it was her friend emailing her to get an Amazon card. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Luckily, Amazon, they do some good. They didn't charge her for it, but at that point, the person had already gotten the gift card, but they didn't charge my mom for it. Thank goodness. Little things like that happen. So now this person probably does have my mom's information and is able to sell it and say, she's someone who might be likely to click on this or respond to an email. And it's just sick that people do it to begin with. But to know that Jen would not only victimize the people once, she would victimize them again coming in as the good guys to help them out too, which they didn't talk about too much on the documentary. And that's where I think it was a little lacking. We heard a lot from Dana Wilkie, who was on there again, who learned her lesson in styling when you are sitting in front of a camera on TV. They really did her dirty last time. So she's on there a lot. Brian Moylan is on there. Some other, they described him as a super fan, but I think he might have a podcast too. It was a lot of podcasters and other personalities explaining what was going on. You know, I want the FBI guy telling me something. I liked Chris Conley, if you remember him from the MTV days. I think that was him, right? Yeah, and it wasn't Kurt Loder. That's the other guy. I like hearing that part of it. I kind of want it to be like a McMillions setup, and I know that's a tall order to ask, but I just felt like it was lacking something. And as happy and as thrilled as I am to get any information on this, and I will probably watch it 3 more times, I almost wish they would have waited just a couple months until, I think March is when Stuart is going to go in for his sentencing. And I think Jen is doing court pretty soon for a deposition. Don't quote me on that. But I just felt like it needed something else, or give us dates, give us exact dates of what we need to be looking forward to. So all in all, it's great. It's worth a watch, but I wouldn't get as excited for it as I was. If you're looking for a better way to feel better without popping pain relievers, sipping a cocktail, or pouring another cup of coffee, I got something for you. Feels CBD is a better way to feel better and keep a calm, clear head. No fuzzy haze here. Just a drop or two of Feels CBD tincture under my tongue lets me breathe deeper and focus on getting on with my day. There is nothing to lose or risk with Feels, because if you don't love it, it's on them. Free shipping, free returns, and the most friendly service team you'll ever talk to. Feels knows their CBD is top-notch, with all natural ingredients grown with care by farmers right here in the U.S., from seed to sealed and delivered to you. I love that I can track every step of the process. I know exactly what I'm getting, which is only the highest quality CBD delivered exactly when I want it. Feels ships all across the U.S., and there's no prescription needed. So what are you waiting for? Start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/realityTV, and you'll get 40% off your first 3 months with free shipping. That's feals.com/realityTV to become a member and get 40% automatically taken off your first 3 months with free shipping. That's feels.com/realityTV. All right, so let's get into some Sister Wives here. Holy shit, you guys, this season, whoa. I mean, we already knew it was going to be pretty fantastic because, as we all know, Christine left. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We are really seeing all the dirty shit that Robin has been doing all this time. And I liked Robin. I didn't see the selfish Robin, the sobbing Robin that everyone else was talking about. Sure, they all want Cody for themselves. All of them do. So, of course, Robin would. But I didn't think she was this dirty and this bitchy and manipulative. But God damn it. Thank you, TLC, or whatever production company does this. They're not editing out Cody and Robin kissing hello and goodbye every time. Do you see him do that with any of the other ladies? No. Although Mary will take anything, as she loves to tell us. She is cracking herself up this season, and she's in on the joke. Like, Cody hates me, so the fact that he came over, winning. Oh, Mary. And I know I talked about this on I Think We Love to Hate Everything. Who knows? It's all a fever dream after you record 7 episodes a week. Mary, on her Instagram, do yourself a favor and check out Friday with Friends, or Fridays with Friends. She does an Instagram live every Friday evening with her friend, I want to say Jennifer. She is so clearly wasted during these things. She is sipping on something. I've done a little investigating, and I think it's a Diet Coke with rum. So I think it hits her really quick. And I love hard liquor. I'm a vodka tonic, gin and tonic lately. So get down with whatever. I'm not a rum girl. That's like instant reflux, throw up, can't do it. But she's not sipping wine on that thing. She has got a straw, and that is some Captain and Coke. Maybe she does a 7 and 7, but it's definitely a caramel color. I could see her doing something disgusting like a root beer and Bacardi. Yeah. Anyway, she's definitely drinking. She is a much happier Mary, which is kind of fun to see. And I still don't like Mary. I think she's very manipulative, but we're seeing a different Mary than we've seen in seasons past, probably because she is in on the joke and she's not going to leave simply because, sure, she thinks God called her to do it or she received a message, but also because she knows that it's killing Robin and Cody. Like, hey guys, over here on the lot number one, I'm not going anywhere, bitch. You're going to be seeing me for the rest of your freaking life. And she is just rubbing it in. And I can't blame her at this point. All right. So in this episode, we open up. I'm going to say it's probably in my top 5 sister wife scenes of all time. And it is Cody working out to Paco Bell. And when Janelle came out, he's like, Paco Bell, Canon and D. First of all, dork. I'm just going to be saying Paco Bell to everything. That's just going to be my basic answer from now on. Paco Bell. What a fucking dork. But then, that's not all, folks. Janelle Brown comes out of left field's asshole and says she prefers to work out to German industrial rock. And she's into old school rap like Eminem. My God, why have we not known this before? This brings the fanfic in my head about the Brown family and about Janelle to a place I wish I would have been able to access and go to years ago, 15 seasons ago. Not only does she work out to this shit, she goes to concerts. Robin, with a disgusted look on her face, is like, Janelle went to rock concerts in Vegas and she wore black. Oh, well, you know, that's the color of the devil, apparently. And also the color of Robin's heart, but we're going to get to that later. Janelle has apparently worn snakeskin leggings, which I don't think were really snakeskin. They were probably like a LuLaRoe swirl that was just reminiscent of a snakeskin and a scratched up t-shirt or something. So, of course, my mind got a little curious, and I did a little Googling to try to figure out what concert she went to. I mean, if she went to an industrial German rock concerts, I mean, she's right up there with like a steampunk Debs OG. Do you think Janelle has a steampunk hat with like goggles on it or like a monocle? I can see it, like a top hat. Actually, I think Christine wore a Halloween costume with a little touch of that. Maybe she borrowed from Janelle. Like, we know they got together over COVID. Get to that in a second. But let me pull up just a little Google search I did. Okay, concerts in Las Vegas. And I put the years 2013 to 2016. I thought, okay, they moved there in 2011-ish, if I remember correctly. And they moved out in 2018. So somewhere in those years, she probably went to a concert. So let's see which concert she might have gone to. Fleetwood Mac. I could see that, but the outfit choice doesn't quite fit. Beyonce. That'd be hilarious. Justin Timberlake. Michael Bublé. Oh, I could see her liking some bubbly. The Harlem Globetrotters. Oh my God. I would love it so much if she was a Globetrotter head. Ooh, that'd be hilarious. Actually, I shouldn't diss her because one time the Jessie White tumblers came to, it was either my kids' school or when I was teaching, and I cried. I bawled my eyes out because I was like, oh my God, they're so talented. Anyway, okay, so all that said, Janelle is probably cooler than I am. Bon Jovi. Okay, that makes sense. But that's not like, ooh, rock concert. Jason Aldean, Jake Owen, that sounds country. Maybe it's the iHeart Radio Festival with Drake, Maroon 5, Bruno Mars, Katy Perry, Chris Brown, Justin Timberlake, Muse, Jason Derulo. Oh, there's a lot in here. Robin Thicke, 30 Seconds to Mars, Keith Urban. Maybe she went to that. That sounds like something she'd like. Or perhaps it was Alejandro Fernandez or Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz and T.I. and Future. The Rolling Stones, that would make a lot of sense. Tim McGraw, I could see her being into country, but I mean, what the hell do I know? She's into German industrial rock. Guys, what is German industrial rock? Maybe I'll type that in here and we can find out together. All right, I'm going to go to Apple Music. German. And, oh, look at that. The category comes right up. Things are working out. Okay, so automatically I'm getting an artist called Rammstein, and I'm just going to click on the first song. Ooh, oh my, they look really scary. They're 6 very interesting, intense-looking men. All right, let's see what this is. This is called Du hast Schein Schlucht from 1997. Oh, whew. Sounds like one of those mosquito zapper things outside. Oh my God. Okay, I need to turn that off. The instant image I just got in my head is being in a haunted house and then someone chasing after me to assault me. I don't like that at all. That's what she works out to? My God. Janelle has got some issues if she's jamming to that. No offense to any of you guys if you rock out to that, but here we have Mormon Sister Wife, who's listening to Fjor Frey and Du hast. And let's see. You know what? Let's play one more. This one's called Ausländer. Right, not my taste, but it's, I don't know. I like that bug sound. Is that it? Just like the whole time? Maybe I'll fast forward. Let's see. That's really freaky. There's children. I told you this is like haunted house shit. Janelle, my God. Mary should play that at the B&B. She'd make a killing at Halloween. I'm like very concerned. Okay, I'm clicking far away from that stuff. Where are we here? We're still in the first scene. Okay, so let's talk about this whole COVID thing. To line this all up, we have to kind of go back to where all of our mind frames were about COVID in August 2020. This is where they are. So over a year ago, it's kind of hard to remember exactly what we were and were not supposed to be doing, what we knew. But I do know that we were all wearing masks. So let's just throw that out there that had everyone just worn masks, there would be a huge relief off of everyone worrying about this COVID thing, but no one's freaking wearing them, which is insane to me. Also, we know that all the kids know Cody just wants to be with Robin. Okay, so really at this point, I feel like it's especially Janelle's kids convincing Janelle that their dad is an asshole. You know, it's not about COVID. He just doesn't want to be with you, Mom, which brings us to the Gabe of it all. I am not a huge fan of Gabe's attitude because it's very, it's like he reminds me of this guy I went to high school with, the guy we all went to high school with, who would always play devil's advocate, take the other side just to get under people's skin. You know, the one who'd raise their hand in class and be like, actually teach Rasputin was actually that guy. And that's exactly who Gabe is in this moment. I appreciate that he's using his really annoying attitude for good ish, but it just gets under my skin. But he's not totally wrong in this circumstance. I don't enjoy the fact that he's like, well, if I got COVID, then I wouldn't have to quarantine. Because as we all know, at this point in time, that's not necessarily true. But again, we have to think, where were we over a year ago? But he makes a good point. If for some reason I have immunity and I can't go over there and I can't see them and they can't come here, then we know it's not at all about COVID. It's about, altogether now, Robin. So let's talk about Robin here. In her driveway, Cody automatically struck a thought in my head that I never had before, and I'm truly ashamed, no pun intended. He asked Robin if he can take Saul and Ariola to go dig some holes. I don't think he ever asked for Truly to go somewhere on her own with him, has he? As far as I remember, he let Truly get to the point where she was so dehydrated, her kidneys shut down. Because he didn't totally understand that she was thirsty and she had a fever. He just thought that she missed her mom. Remember that whole thing? I mean, it's infuriating. I'm probably going to get choked up and cry about it because having a kid who has been to the hospital and has been in some very scary situations like that, I cannot imagine a parent not seeing that and having gone through it on the other side of it now, that you are not especially bonded in a certain way to that child, or that child is not the first thing or person on your mind. Not saying that you don't think of your other kids, but you know what I'm saying? If he's going to go have a special experience outside and he's making the point to Robin, since we're outside, it's safer, why isn't he going to get Truly? Yeah. All right. So that pissed me off to begin with. And then we really get to the heart of the matter, and I really hope it comes up the next episode. If it is all about COVID, then why would they not let Mary be with the kids and have the kids sit on her lap? She did do the right thing. She quarantined for 2 weeks. So if it were about COVID, Mary would be safe and they could use that as an example to the family. Yeah, Ari and Solomon are going to go play with Mary and she can go hang out with them because she's quarantined for 2 weeks. But instead, they're like, no, now is not the time to change the rules. No, if anything, now is the time to say, yeah, we're totally cool with it. It is just about quarantining and being safe. And Mary was safe, so we're totally cool with it. But instead, they're proving the opposite point. Everyone else in the family is like, it's not about quarantining or being safe or anything, because even if you're safe, we're not allowed near your precious children. It's the most wonderful time of the year for me to fall off the wagon with snacking and healthy meals. Thankfully, Ritual, the maker of the multivitamins you and I know we can trust, has my favorite protein powder to help fill the gaps. Did you know that deep down, as in cellular level deep, we all need protein? And it's more than just muscles. Ritual's team of scientists reimagine protein from the ground up and inside out, from how it's made to who it's for and why it's needed. What does that mean to me as I'm trying to find something that tastes good, that'll satisfy my craving, and be healthier than those sugar cookies that are sitting on my counter right now? Well, it means an incredible, natural Madagascar vanilla bean essential protein made from 20 grams of pea protein, with peas sustainably grown right here in the U.S., plus a complete amino acid profile. Whether you're doing a full circuit at the gym or get your cardio from carpool, Ritual supports your daily health for not only today, but with the nutrients to support your bones, brain, and muscles. You're helping to maintain muscle mass as you age, which, like it or not, we all need so we can feel our best now and in 20, 30 years. So why not shake up your Ritual? To make trying something new less scary, Ritual offers a money-back guarantee if you're not 100% in love. Plus, my listeners get 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/realityv to add essential protein today. There's an easy link in the show notes. That's ritual.com/realityv. Now let's talk about this. I have not always been as amused or tickled or impressed by Truly as some people are, but I have come around. I do have a heart. She can be a little too precocious or in my face sometimes, but I'm going to give her a whole lot of grace now because seeing that her dad doesn't give a flying shit about her, she's reaching out for attention and she's using attention-getting behaviors in a very large family to get attention, probably from her dad. And that's the whole thing that drives me nuts about Robin, is that she says like, oh, it's hard for Solomon and little Areola in her mullet. Someone, can we please cut her hair to a normal length? Because she's not two anymore. Isn't she like 5 or 6? Can she get a decent haircut? What are they putting on that head? It's horrible. And also, Solomon is 10. I just want you guys to keep that in mind. So when he throws that crying tantrum later, yes, I felt badly for him because he's crying because he wants to play with his sibling, Robin. It isn't a play date. It is their sibling. You got into this family. You should have known that your kids are going to be playing with their siblings, with their brother and sisters. She just makes her children so damn precious that no matter what anyone else does in the family, they're not going to be able to see them, which is why everyone's frustrated. But God forbid someone say anything, they know Cody's going to go run back to Robin and Robin's going to throw a hissy fit and be all bitchy. And what's the worst thing she could do at this point? Hang on to Cody more? That's not possible. He already is there 24/7 and everyone else sees this. But everyone has their freedoms, and that's okay, according to Robin. Well, no. First of all, no one is having total freedom because they're hanging on the hook. They are waiting with bated breath to see what their next move can or can't be, depending on Cody and Robin, whatever the hell they will or will not allow. And like I said, they really showed their cards not letting Mary play with the kids. Stupidest thing ever. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about her parenting, and I know that's like a touchy subject. Don't talk about anyone else's parenting, but I'm going to because I feel like they're on this TV show and we are seeing some of the picture. I'm a parent myself. I have 2 children with compromised immune systems, especially my son, who's been through way more hospitalizations than Robin's Solomon has. So let's chat about this. According to Robin and Cody, the reason Saul is at a higher risk is because he had RSV as an infant. Now, as far as we know, he was never hospitalized for it. And RSV can be very serious, especially in infants, really young newborns. It's way worse as a child or infant than it is in an older child or an adult. I know that. I totally get it. I have also done extensive research over the past couple days, and I know it's just online journals and things that I'm reading, but as far as everything I've read, RSV doesn't pose any sort of long-term damage or higher risk for COVID. That has come out. Again, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt that this was over a year ago. Maybe they didn't know that much, but we've never heard of Solomon having asthma, that he was ever hospitalized for it. And go ahead, look it up yourselves. Doctors will say in most kids, you treat it with medication and it's just like having a cold. Now, Cody, when he's talking about this, says Solomon had RSV and truly had kidney failure. Well, in my mind, wouldn't kidney failure be the first thing that comes to mind before your kid's RSV that didn't seem to have any sort of long-lasting effect? Truly should be the one that you are really thinking of. And again, I'm speaking from experience. Of course, I'm very concerned that my daughter would get COVID or could get COVID now, even though she's vaccinated. But my entire family is concerned more about my son because his immune system, the stuff that he's gone through. So sure, they're concerned about both, but it's always like, okay, well, let's worry about Charlie. And actually, thank God he's getting his second vaccination today. Oh, thank you, scientists, for coming up with it. But what I'm trying to say is people get that in the risk factors, there's some that are greater than others. So the fact that Robin knows that Saul is at a less serious risk than even Truly, and she's going above and beyond to tears and crying about it and telling Cody, I wish just everyone could follow along with your rules. I'm following along with your rules. Okay, bullshit. I do not believe for a second Robin has not left that house in X amount of months. I really don't believe it. And Saul and Ari could be wearing masks while they're running around. If you are so concerned, why are you not having them in masks or you wearing a mask? Because you could bring it to them. Maybe some of the reasoning is they had to get COVID tests to be filmed, so they knew they didn't have it. But then why would you be screaming about keep distance, keep distance? None of it makes any sort of sense. Oh, God, it's so frustrating. Now, the parenting. I am a very anxious person. I try not to be an anxious mother. Sometimes it slips out, sometimes it doesn't. But Robin is so clearly teaching her kids to overreact because we see it in almost every one of her kids, minus Dayton. Dayton's cool. I think he's totally fine. He was hanging out with the brothers. I love that Janelle's like, Dayton, per your mom's rules, you're going to have to back up about 4.5 feet. Loud enough for Robin to hear. Because, you know, Robin would be like, oh, that's great that Dayton's hanging out with his brothers because they're cool. Go ahead. But of course she can't because then she'd have to be following her own rules. Anyway, you see Saul, who is 10 years old, burst out in tears over not being able to get closer to Truly. Now, I understand that he may be crying and it hurts and he wants to get close to playing with his sibling. But I have a, well, now 11-year-old, a son about the same age as Solomon. And I know all kids are different, but my son is on the sensitive side. He's very easily brought to tears when he's frustrated and stuff. But it just seemed odd to me that it was just like a flick of a switch. He's crying, bawling, just like his mom. Sobbing Robin is sobbing Robin for a reason. We saw one of her daughters has a tendency to have panic attacks. I'm not saying it's completely Robin's fault, but a little, sometimes that is nature and nurture. I've had panic attacks. My brother has had them almost all of his life. I totally understand that it is not a controllable thing. It's not a choice. I'm just saying her parenting in a lot of aspects is a choice. And her kids seem very baby to me. No one babies Truly like that. And Truly is only, oh, what, like 2 or 3 years older than Saul? And you don't see anyone running around like that. And again, this is a child that almost died. And no one is doing all the stuff for Truly like they are for Solomon and Areola. Now that brings me to what's going to be coming up next week. My face is flaming hot red right now. When we see Isabel crying, saying, my dad isn't even hugging me and I'm going to be going and why can't he just drop everything to be there for me? Yeah, Cody, why can't you? Here's another perfect example. If he needed to quarantine for 2 weeks before he could go to this surgery, even if he could not stay in the hospital, which at the time, having gone through this myself, you could only have one parent there. Wouldn't you still go out for a period of time, relieve Christine, and then he could come in for the day to stay with her? Your child's having back surgery. This isn't like she's having her tonsils taken out or a bone set in a cast, something like that. This is major, major surgery. Why isn't he quarantining for 2 weeks and then going? Oh, well, it's because, as Robin said in that fucking driveway this week, Ari and Saul can't spend 2 weeks without you. Well, what do you think the rest of his 15 children are doing? None of them are seeing him for months at a time because your kids can't go 2 weeks without seeing him. You went into this family knowing you were going to have to share him and your kids would have to share him. So why is this any different? Why are her kids more precious than anyone else? I'm furious that no one will say this to Cody's face or to Robin's face. Christine would be the perfect person to be like, look, Truly almost lost her life. She's in a very precarious situation. She can't go without her dad for 2 weeks. So how you like them apples, bitch? Kind of bringing this back around to Evelyn. God, it's infuriating. And I really hope Christine had like a swan song and did like a fuck you, fuck you, I'm divorcing you, fuck you, bye, and took off out of there and said everything she needed to say because Robin deserves it. I don't think Robin is evil. I think she has been put in a perfect situation that allows her to be very, very selfish. And she's just gotten caught up in it. And luckily for her, Mary got catfished, so she took advantage of that situation, and that's just really sad. To hear Cody saying, "I have no desire," and then he corrected himself and said, "no interest in having a romantic relationship with her." Well, then set her free, asshole. And my theory is, going back to what Mary kind of touched on this week, was that she had a personal calling from God to do this, is the only reason they're keeping Mary around, they meaning Robin and Cody, the only reason they're keeping the other wives around is because that's what's going to get them into heaven. Because in their religion and their church, multiple wives and polygamy is the gateway to heaven. So are they now thinking Christine's going to hell and now they need to keep the other two so that they can go to heaven where Robin's mystical brown-eyed boy is, which I still argue is Dayton because he also has brown eyes and brown hair, but whatever. Oh, okay, I know that was a mouthful, but I got most of what I need to say off my chest, but I will be talking much more about Sister Wives with Amanda this week. We are recapping all the season of Sister Wives over on We Love to Hate TV at Tier 2, and you'll be getting Housewives and True Life and, Seeking Sister Wife, I wish, and Sister Wives over there. And please make sure you are subscribing to We Love to Hate Everything. It's free. I'll put it in the show notes. You'll hear me every week, and we might end up recapping old episodes of Sister Wife because Amanda's super into it now too. And I just want to say thank you guys so, so much. This is not goodbye. I'm keeping the feed here, like I said. Hopefully I'll be uploading some episodes here and there, but I don't want to promise you any regular schedule because my life is kind of crazy right now. But I'm always here. I will keep the Facebook group around. Maybe we'll just call it the Orchard of Snark because you guys are the best and I don't want that going anywhere. So thank you for an amazing 4 years. This is episode 235 and there's a whole bunch in there that are mislabeled and numbered. So it's even more than that. Love you guys so much and we'll still be around. I'll talk to you later. Stay salty.